Paddy here. Good morning. If it's morning, wherever you are, if it's afternoon, etc. I hope you're all very well. Thank you once again, and as always, for downloading the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast about a guy with ME and a mic. That's me, Paddy. Not just all about me, of course. As we saw from the last couple of weeks, we've had guests on the show now, finally, as promised. I don't know about you, but I think they went spectacular. And I do know about you, actually. I shouldn't say I don't know about you. I do know about you, because as a result of having our guests on, our numbers have blown up. So I won't take that personally again, especially if they decline this week, because there's no guest this week. There will be one next week, I think. So that would be really painful, wouldn't it? I don't want to think about that. I won't read into that anyway. But yeah, it's not all about me, because we had guests on the show. So 2 weeks ago, we had my wife Maggie on, who came on to talk about living with somebody, living with ME. And I thought it was brilliant. Really blew me away, and other people. I've got so many positive responses to how eloquent she was, how honest she was, and a lot of people have written in saying, it's been really tough at home for their partners, dealing with their illness, their ME, their chronic fatigue syndrome, and that Maggie really captured their feelings and asked me to pass on their thanks, and I passed that on to Maggie, and that went really well. So we'll probably have her back on the show sometime. People have asked for that. You can get that. Then, of course, last week we had Jess Goiter on sharing her experience. And again, I think that was tremendous. We'll definitely have Jess back on the show if she's willing, which I think she is. She shared some really, really positive experience. I think the things that really struck home and really stayed with me, there's quite a lot from what she said. Just a reminder that we have this illness, but to be cautious, not to, as much as we can, not to let it be our label or our identifier. As in, she made the great point, it was, oh, there was Jess the singer-songwriter, now there's Jess with ME, and that's her identifier, Jess, the one with ME, and not to let that happen, or even happen within ourselves. I think that was really, really good. I mean, obviously, I spend a bit of time thinking about my ME because I record this show. I talk to people online about the show and all that kind of thing. But, there are other things about me, and it's really good to remember that. This weekend coming up, I have a busy Sunday, which I got to tell you, I'm a little worried about, but trying not to think about it too much. But I've got a family christening, followed by a party. But then I'm going on to watch some professional wrestling in Belfast, which I'm very excited about, because I haven't been able to get out to something like that in a very long time. And I'm really hoping my health allows me to do that. It's kind of one of those things where I think I'm planning on pushing through regardless. I'll take the consequences after, because I want to do this. I want to do this. So and that's something also that really stayed with me that Jess said. It blew my mind. You probably heard it in the show, episode 8. If you haven't listened to it, and if you haven't listened to any of the shows, they're pretty good. Go back and listen to them. But really, the last two episodes, 7 and 8, with our guests on, were excellent. So do go back and check them out. You can find the podcast. Well, you find the podcast. Why am I telling you where to find the podcast if you're listening to the podcast? But do subscribe and share on your podcast app. That would be really good. Keep these numbers growing. I think we're doing a good service. And, it's not about me. It's not about that kind of ego stuff. The numbers are cool. It's fun to look at them grow every day. But that means, to me, that means that more and more people are getting kind of support, identification. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So let's keep that growing. But I was saying that one of the things that Jess really blew my mind with was saying that we, oftentimes, and I could really identify with this, we oftentimes can do a lot of stuff. I said this in episode 1, 2, 3, I don't know if I could do it today now, but I can go out and run 5K. I could do that and I probably wouldn't break too much of a sweat. So I can go to the family christening and a party and professional wrestling in the same day on Sunday. I can do that. It's what happens afterwards. That's the consequences. And Jess nailed that. And you know, it's funny. It's just that simple reframing of the illness that has never really occurred to me. And that's, I think, part of that difficulty in explaining this illness that we have is that, and I talked about this, didn't I, previously, that if someone sees me out at the shops or out running, they're like, oh, he's much better. It's the consequences. And I think it's really, really good to, if explaining the illness, and I certainly will be using that much more in the future, is to talk more about the consequences rather than the baseline, because the baseline is variable, but the consequences kick you in the rear end of pushing it too far. I guess the problem lies, and this is a conundrum I've been trying to mess around with and deal with in my head since Jess said that, was if we don't know till afterwards how bad it's going to be, how do we know how much to do beforehand? How do we know? And I guess that's what this pacing's about, and finding a baseline. And if you've been listening for the last few weeks, I've been tracking, doing the beginning of pacing by tracking my activity. That's coming to an end. I've been doing it for 6 weeks now. It'll come to an end next week. So I'll talk a bit more about that next week, I think. But that is designed to give you a baseline to know when is too much and you're going to be paying for it, and when is okay, and also how to slightly increase that over time. Go back and listen though to, I think, episode 6, episode 5, I don't know. Go back and listen to it anyway. Listen to all the episodes, they're good. They're not too long, they're good. And if you're on a pacing journey, get in touch with me and we can talk about that. So a huge thank you to Mags, a huge thank you to Jess for the last couple of weeks. More guests are coming up in the next few weeks, plenty lined up. But if you want to come on the show, if you want to come and share experience, please do get in touch. You know, I can't stress enough, that is what this show's about. I wanted to start this show to share people's experience, and definitely, absolutely not just mine. Because the more I learn about this illness, the more I learn that there are many different aspects. There are many different results and consequences and effects that this illness can have. And if enough people's voices get heard, then there's more chance of people getting identification and support and just not feeling like they're dealing with this alone. And I think that's massive. We are called the Millions Missing. So we kind of need to be millions heard. We need to be heard a bit more. And we're going to go on to talk about that, because we got heard a little bit last week, didn't we? As we're in the UK Parliament, and we'll talk about that now. But if you want to get in touch, please do. I'm on Twitter at @0allaboutme. I'm on email at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. We have a closed Facebook group that is growing, people sharing experience, commenting on the episodes. That is at It's Really Not All About Me podcast. Search for that on Facebook and you should be able to find it there. Closed group, but don't worry, I know the bouncer. He said I could bring some friends in, so you should be all right if you're asked to join. And good hearty conversation and support going on there, where people can be a little bit more open if they're having a bad day or a good day, or etc. There's you know, you're with your herd in there, so make use of that. It's going well. That's how you get in touch with us on the show here. One other thing I was going to say, that Jess gave me a cup of coffee sip. She didn't give me a sip of coffee. I just took a sip of coffee. One thing Jess mentioned was that she enjoyed doing yoga, or she made a point of stopping each day and taking time out to do some yoga. And she was talking about yoga nidra. Now, I don't know if this was in the show or if I think it was when we turned the mic off. So I'll just talk about this briefly now. Jess was telling me about yoga nidra, which to me is the best part of yoga. You know, the bit at the end where you lie down in corpse pose and just chill with a blanket on you. So it's basically that, but that's the whole thing. So it's my kind of yoga. I got into this yoga nidra. I've been doing it for a good few days now, and I got to tell you, I'm loving it. So Jess and I were talking about that equation, finding the right puzzle pieces and just simply getting them in the right order to have, and that just doing that can have significant impact on your life. Maybe try this. Maybe try some yoga nidra. You can find it on the internet. You know, there's loads of different practitioners. It's pretty easy to wrap your head around. I've got a couple of audio files that do it. There's a short one and that's about 20 minutes. There's a longer one that's about 40 minutes. And I'm finding them really good. So top tip from Jess of the week would be yoga nidra. Check it out. See if it fits in your puzzle and solves your equation. So we had some exposure last week, didn't we? We were talking about this in the weeks leading up to it. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the debate on ME in the UK Parliament last week. I should say this is going out on Monday, so 2 weeks ago. I watched the whole thing. It exhausted me. I was live tweeting. I was live tweeting throughout the proceedings. First impressions were I thought it was very well attended, you know. And do you know what the wonderful thing was? I was so super proud. Each MP who stood up, and it was all unanimously, you know, we're in favour of biomedical research. We're in favour of increasing awareness in society of ME. There wasn't really anything said negatively. What really blew me away was each MP who stood up, and a lot of them said, you know, I'm they made their speech about how they felt, and then they said, and I'm here representing so and so from my constituency. And so many times whenever they stood up and said that, did they mention somebody by name that I know from the ME community online in the UK? You guys did amazing in lobbying your MP to get to the Houses of Parliament to represent you 2 weeks ago. That was fantastic. So many times people stood up and I was like, I know that name. I know that person. I've chatted to them on Twitter, or they're going to come on the show. So that was so cool. A big well done to everybody. Big well done to Action for ME. Once again, love to them who did a big push to get people to lobby their ministers to go to the debate. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. That was really nice to see. Overall, I think it just made me really happy. Again, we're called the million missing. We're missing. We don't participate in life anymore that much. For the time being, and it was really cool, I thought, to see this illness that is quite a closed door, a unknown, a you know, under the carpet, whatever way you want to kind of talk about it, illness being talked about with passion, mostly with informed language, with drive. It was almost like I was saying to somebody on Twitter afterwards, I wanted to call my mum and dad and be like, hey, I'm on TV, you know, because we don't get that kind of exposure, and it just felt good. What happens next, I don't know. You know, the minutiae of the debate, I wasn't sure whenever the actual Minister for Health stood up at the end to give his conclusions. I'm not sure what impact that had. I've seen quite a lot of Twitter talks saying, you know, there wasn't really much in there. It seemed a little bit empty. That's for you guys to continue lobbying and raising awareness of. But I think overall, I was heartened. You know, it made me feel good to hear my illness talked about with drive, passion, anger, and, you know, to be represented felt good, because we're not. We're the millions missing. And it felt good to be, you know, not missing for a little bit. My MP, I live, as you probably know, I live in Northern Ireland. So I, like the rest of you guys, I lobbied my MP to attend the debate. My MP is Sylvia Herman. And Sylvia Herman couldn't get to the debate, you know, so I didn't get my shout out like a lot of you guys got your shout outs from the from your local MP representing you. However, I got to say, Sylvia Herman did write to me before the day, 2 days before the debate, apologizing, saying she couldn't make the debate. And I'm going to read you her letter here, you know, because I think it's real, it's neat, but we also have to keep our hold our public servants accountable. So I'm making you guys aware of this so we can then follow up on this in the next few weeks or months, depending on how long things take. So this is the letter from my MP, Sylvia Harmon. She says, "Dear Paddy, thank you so much for taking the time to email me recently and let me know about the debate on ME tomorrow in the House of Commons. Your email refers to the short film Unrest, and I have to say it gives a very powerful insight into the devastation ME can cause to the lives of sufferers. It was cause you disappointment, but I have to return home to Northern Ireland this evening as I have a number of other commitments here tomorrow. However, as health is a devolved responsibility for the Northern Ireland Assembly, I should very much like your permission to write on your behalf to the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael McBride, asking him to provide details of improvements in the treatments available to ME sufferers in Northern Ireland. I'm more than happy to do so, and I would of course scan his reply to you for your consideration. Given that you have had to live with this appalling condition for years, you are entitled to know what more the NHS in Northern Ireland is doing to help give you a much better quality of life. Thank you once again for your email, and I apologise most sincerely for not being able to attend tomorrow's debate. Kindest regards as ever, Sylvia." So, that's exciting, I think. You know, I thought it was, I wrote back post-haste and said, you know, thank you for the email, and I'd be delighted if you would refer this on to the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael McBride. That would be very cool. So there we go. Watch this space, and I'll keep you up to date with what our MP says. So that was kind of neat. A bit of coffee. Moving on. I mentioned last week that I was going to talk about a bit of a dilemma that I had last weekend, and you know, I got this opportunity I'm not able to work at the moment, as I think I've mentioned. Formerly, I was in the charity and non-profit sector, and I kind of enjoy, or obviously, like anybody, I want to kind of provide service and help people out as much as I can. I'm incredibly grateful for the ability to do that here, you know, talking into the microphone, talking to you guys. I think that's a service, and you in turn help me out tons, and everybody else, and we share our experience as discussed earlier. One of the things I enjoy doing is I still, whenever possible, I help out with a couple of charities, and one of the charities I help out with offered to send me on a training course. Obviously, benefit me, benefit them, you know. Last weekend, now it was a 2-day course, 9:30 in the morning until 4:30 in the evening, Saturday and Sunday, and it was about half an hour away as well. So I got offered this, and I had to really think. You know, my immediate response still is, my default setting is, yes, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. It'll, my ego, my pride, my ambition says, oh, that'll help me professionally, you know, which means I'm, you know, I'm closer to becoming king of the world. my pride and ego and you know, my non-altruistic sense says, oh, that's great. I'll be able to help people better, which will make me feel better. And also then, obviously, there is that kernel of, I'm trying to be a nice guy, and this will help me serve the charity better and help other people, you know. Unfortunately, I have to be honest, it is in that order, you know. King of the world, makes me look good, help people. But, you know, no one's perfect, eh? No one's perfect. I'm only half joking there. So I get this opportunity, and I said yes, I will do that. But I can't travel on public transport by myself anymore. I should say at the moment. Let's not say anymore. At the moment, I can't do it. It's too confusing for me. My brain just goes into a swim. I get exhausted, sweaty, faint, dizzy, nauseous, and just, you know, crash. Public transport really, really messes me up. I'm not sure why. It's just one of those things, you know. It really screws me up, especially at the moment. So I can't travel on public transport by myself at the moment. So I said I'd have to get a lift, and people arranged a lift for me. And then I was thinking about it, and I had time, and that night, after saying I would do it, this is about 5 days out or a week out, I started thinking, right, what have you got yourself into? When was the last time I did anything between 9:30 and 4:30? That many hours, 2 days in a row, that much concentration. When was the last time I sat in a learning environment at all, let alone for, you know, that many hours, 2 days in a row, after having to travel there for half an hour? When was the last time I was out of the house between 9:30 and 4:30? I can't remember. Honestly can't remember. And yet I dived in. As soon as someone said, do you want to do this? I said, yeah, of course. Brilliant. Excellent. And that's that divide that obviously still exists within me. You know, that desire to just put the head down. I know earlier I was talking about what Jess said, right? I could probably go out for a 30-minute run. And just deal with the consequences either, as in I would finish the run, get home, and then in the next few hours, but most likely the next few days, I would crash, right? What we're talking about here, 9:30 to 4:30, 2 days in a row in a learning environment, you're talking about a crash right there. You're talking about a crash before you even get into the classroom. But I just said yes, because I wanted desperately for that to be the reality, that I'm the guy who says yes, and then not only do I attend the training, but I then go on to apply what I have learnt, and participate to a greater degree in the charity and the organisation as a whole, and in society as a whole. That's what I wanted the reality to be, but that's not. I had to come to terms with a few days to go, that's not my reality, and I've got to get smarter. I've got to get smarter at accepting that quicker, I think. Now, this is, if you're a long-term listener, if you've been listening since, you know, before Christmas, you'll know this is one of my problems. I equate accepting my illness with giving in to my illness. And I haven't found the grey area where maybe there's a nice wiggle room where that's not the case. I'm an all or nothing kind of person. I have an addictive personality. So I see acceptance as giving in almost to some degree. And in this case, I had to accept that going into that learning environment between 9:30 and 4:30, 2 days in a row, would really be damaging for me at this point. And I had to accept that, and that felt really rotten. I had to call up, and obviously whenever I called up the people and said, look, actually, my illness can't allow me to do that at the moment, they were lovely. Of course they were lovely to me and said, look, we're going to be doing it again in the future. You know, this is just the first cohort. You'll be top of the list next time. That's absolutely grand. And by the way, thank you for what you do, what you are able to do. We continue to be very appreciative of that. They said all that, but obviously I was just feeling a bit crap. Because I'd let my illness get in the way of my plans. and the reality had to be adjusted to say that you're not the guy who says yes, you're the guy who says I can't at the moment. And that was very hard for me to take. But at the same time, I'm really glad I did do it. It would have really destroyed me doing that, right? If I'd made the first day, I can guarantee I wouldn't have made it back the second day. I would have felt awful, and it would have set me really far back. I think we might be in a situation, and I'm so hesitant to even put words to it, which is a bit of a pain in the arse because I have a spoken podcast. But is it a case of two steps back to take three steps forward at a future date? It may well be. It may well be. As a result of talking to you guys, of talking, you know, here talking to people like Jess and other people on Twitter and Facebook, I'm applying. I'm really trying to look after myself in the best way I can. So I'm not just what I didn't just do was cancel the thing and feel sorry for myself. Okay, I was a bit angry. I did feel sorry for myself, but not for that long, right? I said, okay, if this is the case, let's make this. Let's not make this the permanent setting. Okay, so I have changed my diet again. I'm trying to eat really healthy at the moment. Doesn't always work out, and this is the problem again. Being this kind of addictive personality that I have, it's all or nothing. So I get really ticked off. If I have a healthy breakfast, a healthy lunch, and then like last night, healthy breakfast I had yesterday, healthy lunch I had yesterday, was going to cooking up a really nice, healthy five bean chili, and the gas went in my house, so I couldn't do that, you know. The refrigerator may have been kicked. I may have kicked a refrigerator at that point, and then I just had a big plate of chips and two hamburgers. Because, you know, I wish I wasn't that way sometimes. I work hard at not being that way all the time. But between the illness and the desire to do better, when things don't work out quite the way I planned, I don't always react in the best way. But back on it, I'm recording this at 10 to 10 in the morning the next day, and I've had a healthy breakfast. So all being well, I will have a healthy lunch, and if things mess up and my plans for a healthy dinner don't go to plan, I'll try not to kick the refrigerator this time. You know, I can't make promises, but I didn't. My point in that meandering and you know, odd story of kitchen appliance violence was to say that I didn't just cancel and feel sorry for myself and feel bad. I did that for a while. Of course I did. You know, who doesn't take the time to wallow in self-pity? You know, I am far from perfect. So I did that. I started the yoga nidra, though. I started meditating. I started saying, okay, if I'm going to put my illness ahead of opportunities, I'm then going to put my recovery ahead of everything else and be a little bit more strict. And again, this comes from that addictive personality, the all or nothing, right? So I thought, okay, if I have to say no, I can't take this opportunity, I'm going to balance it out by saying I'm going to put my recovery first. So I have been stopping whatever I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 days. Whatever I've been doing, I've been starting the day with a good meditation session. Whatever I've been doing, I've been stopping at midday. I've got an alarm on my phone to do a good meditation session. And I've been at 4 o'clock, same alarm goes off, pause the day. Whatever I'm doing, even if I'm out and about, go back, sit in the car while Maggie, you know, goes about doing shopping, whatever we were doing. Sit down, 10 minutes meditation or whatever. And I've got a variety of different things I use. And there's plenty out there. So if anybody's interested in what I'm using at the moment, you know, obviously ask me. Or I enjoy, somebody the other day actually on Facebook, on the group, come and join us. It's not all about me podcast, Facebook group. Someone mentioned Insight Timer app. Got that yesterday. Did a meditation on there. Really enjoyed it. So thank you. I really like meditation minis. I use my Apple Watch Breathe app. And then I also enjoy the Yoga Nidra, which Jess recommended. So there's a whole thing, but three times a day. Stop. Deep rest. Three times a day, no matter what. No matter what. Strict. So I realized if I'm going to be strict and turn down opportunities because I'm accepting my illness, I'm also then going to put that disappointment, that self-pity, that anger, that guilt into my recovery and be a mofo when it comes to just being absolute strict. No, my recovery. And that's the one step back to take two steps forward later on down the line. People are already used to me cancelling things. People are used to me not being able to turn up, delaying things, not being able to participate. People are used to that. And now, so it won't make a huge difference. Me saying, I'm going to have to step out for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, or we're going to have to delay lunch by 45 minutes because I'm doing this. People are used to that. But this time, it's not just because I'm ill. It's because I'm working on my recovery. That's the difference. So that kind of dilemma about the training opportunity has turned into a renewed vigor, a renewed aggression with regards to my recovery, as far as how I'm eating and how I'm resting and recovering and treating myself. Watch the space. We'll see what happens there. I'm continuing to do my pacing diary, as I said. I will maybe talk about that a little more next week or the week after if we have a guest next week, because I'll have finished it by then, the first part anyway. What do we have? That's about it, I think, for this week. A couple of questions, actually. I had some questions for you. Now that, you know, our numbers are growing, and that's awesome to see. And again, you know, thank you very much for the guests for coming on and raising awareness and retweeting things. And continue, please, to share this. I had a couple of questions for you. First one is, do you use CBD oil? I haven't had a chance to talk about this. Yet, I know that it is seen as a magical cure-all for lots and lots of things. Does it work for you? What dosage do you take? What form do you take it in? Over here in the United Kingdom, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, it's available now. I have found it to be incredibly expensive, prohibitively expensive for me. Are you using CBD oil? Are you getting any kind of positive reaction from it, and how are you taking it, how often, what dosage? I'd be really interested in this. What's your experience of CBD oil? What else are you doing to make you solve your puzzle that little bit more, to solve your equation? Jess talked about the Yoga Nidra last week. She also reminded me of magnesium salts baths. So I have sitting beside me here in the studio, in the recording studio, that is my office. We have some salts, some magnesium salts, which I have been bathing in quite frequently. Thank you to Jess for reminding me of my magnesium salt baths. These things sometimes you forget, especially if you have to order something to maintain it. I forget to do it sometimes, and then it stops becoming a good habit. So I'm back on the magnesium salts baths. So what else do you guys take baths? I find this compulsion, or maybe it's a relaxing thing, I don't know, but I want to have a bath almost every day. You know, a nice deep hour to an hour and a half long bath, nice hot. So I do that all the time, and I find it helps. So I find I'm drawn to it. You know, it's like a craving, a compulsion to do that. Maybe it's just a desire to have that time out. I don't know. But baths I take a lot of. So yeah, what do you do? Do you take baths? Do you take magnesium salt baths? Do you use CBD oil? What yoga are you doing? What relaxation techniques do you have? What menu item? What's your puzzles? How are things working out for you? get in touch with me. on Twitter, once again, Zero All About Me. On email, it's really not all about me at gmail.com. And on Facebook, come and join the Super Secret Closed Group. It's really, no, it's not all about me at, what is it now? It's Not All About Me podcast on Facebook. Find the group, click to join. The rest will be chats. All right, guys, let's finish with gratitude, as we do each week. I was thinking this week about doing the show, sitting down to record the show. And you know what I realized I'm so grateful for? How available everything is these days. Does that make sense? Not really. What am I trying to say? In the past, with this illness, I was saying earlier, it's quite a lonely illness. It isolates us by its nature. It really does. And I was thinking how difficult that would have been 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know? Especially, obviously, you know, with the change in thinking medical-wise. But I'm just thinking of, as far as the lack of connection that you would have had 15, 20, 10 years ago with this illness. And how grateful I am that not only do I have social media to keep in touch with people, but I have this whole podcast set up as well. And so much of it is achievable, is for free, you know? So much of the connection, the medium I use to connect with people is free for me. And that's really neat. I'm so grateful for that. And I can't imagine what it would have been like 20 years ago, 25 years ago for somebody in this same condition. I can click today and get instant feedback. Do you like baths with magnesium? 5 minutes later, there's 25 responses and tips and all that. Or you know, I'm worried about this weekend because I'm going to a christening and a party in pro wrestling. And then 5 minutes later, there's 10 comments saying, hey, you know, it'll be grand. Don't think about it till Sunday. Take it easy. It's largely, you know, on the surface of it, it's you know, it's free. It's instant and it's free. And for that, obviously, I know, you know, we got to pay internet bills, we got to pay phone bills, we got to pay for blah, blah, blah. But I'm just talking about, in general, it's there. And that wasn't there 25 years ago. And for that, I am absolutely super grateful. I get down days like everybody else, but I'm always heartened by the hope that the ME community online, in many different ways, give me, and I'm really grateful for that. So I think that's the gratitude for this week, is just reminding myself that, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do anything that I've done over the last hour 25 years ago. And that's something to be really grateful for, because it certainly, you know, helps me with my day, and I hope it helps you with yours. On that note, till next week, when we probably will have a guest. Let's say we'll probably have a guest next week. You look after yourselves, take care of yourselves and each other, and have the best day that you can. Cheers.